Good morning to everyone. Truly, it's a deep honor to be here with all of you in Every Nation Penang. It's been a while. I've been here twice before, but that was a very, very long time ago. So, and I mean this, I've always wanted to come back and just never had the chance until now. I was telling Pastor Jonathan, Pastor Timothy, and I conspired for many, many years to try to do that. We have an annual Asian conference in Every Nation way, way back. So for many years, we tried to conspire to bring it here because we wanted to come here, honestly. It just never worked out. So finally, I'm glad to make it back because it's the best food in Malaysia, right? In Penang, yeah? Right. So forgive me if I smell like char kway teow this morning, but we just had the best char kway teow in all of Penang. Is that true? Yeah. Just on the street here. So again, Merry Christmas to all of you before anything else. And I just want to thank again Pastor Jonathan and Miyok just for inviting me over here this morning. We've known each other for a long time. We've never had the chance to really work together closely. And I mean this, part of the reason I never went back was because as soon as the church was handed over to the leadership of Pastor Jonathan, I've never told you this, but Pastor Timothy always had the highest faith and confidence and trust in Pastor Jonathan's leadership. Really, can we give Pastor Jonathan a big, big hand? So in a way, there was no need really to come because we knew it was in the right hands. And really to come back 16 years later to see the growth and the strength of this church now, it goes to show, again, it's a testimony to the leadership of Pastor Jonathan. So again, would you just join me in honoring Pastor Jonathan and Mio for their tremendous, tremendous leadership. Now, again, we are starting a series called Unveiling Christmas, beginning today. And it's basically a reminder to all of us that Christmas can only find meaning in the person, the work, and the life of Jesus Christ. So can I ask all of you to stand to join me in honoring the reading of God's Word. Now let me just read from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Spirit, we submit to you this morning. We thank you for your presence that's with us. Bless the preaching and the teaching of the word. Renew our minds, transform our hearts, and shape our lives into the image of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may go ahead and take your seats. All right. Now, we read verses 1 to 5, but verse 1 alone, okay? Remove verses 2 to 5, just in verse 1. John already covered some of the most essential doctrines in the entire Christian faith. The pre-existence of Christ, Christ as Logos, the Trinity, the divinity of Christ. I mean, hundreds of years later, church councils were organized just to clarify and discuss and crystallize each and every one of those. But in John's Gospel, in the very first verse, he packed all of those truths already in the very beginning. Okay? Now, let's contrast John with how the other Gospel writers introduced their epistles. Matthew said, this is his first verse, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Well, okay, just makes sense, right? It's a good introduction to a Jewish audience. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the son of God. So clear, right? Luke chapter 1, verse 1, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, very smooth, okay? But John wasted no time. He wasted no ink. He went straight to the heart of the matter. Now, I need to test my illustration if it's going to work here in Penang. I don't know how many of you here are boxing fans, all right? Okay, no one's responding, so let's see this. Okay, there you go. So, how many of you remember the Thomas Hearns and Marvin Hagler fight in 1985? Am I just talking to one guy? Nobody? No. Well, anyway, I'll skip this in the second and third services, but for now, let me just say it. The Marvin Hagler-Thomas Hearns fight, the first round, is considered the greatest round in all of boxing history. Because Hagler and Hearns, you know, typical first round in boxing, again, I'm not sure if I'm talking to the walls here, but you know, you feel each other out, it's the first time to fight, you're testing which punches are gonna work, is it okay as a Christian to talk about boxing, or you know, you're looking at the reflexes of your opponent, so it's kind of like a warm-up, okay? The fight doesn't really begin until round two or three. But Marvin Hagler and Thomas Hearns, first, second, they went to war, okay? No second wasted. That's what John did, okay? So I'm gonna drop that illustration in the next few services. I'll try another one, okay? I'll say that for later. So, John was most likely the last to be written among the four Gospels, okay? And so he built on what had already been written. So John had the luxury, if you notice, of dropping some of the most important accounts in the life of Jesus, such as John doesn't have a birth narrative. Okay, he didn't talk about the baptism of Christ. There's no mention of the wilderness experience. No parables were even listed. He didn't mention the Last Supper, imagine, nor the ascension of Christ. So why? Because John assumed that all of his readers already knew these. The other writers had already written about. So John's goal was to clarify and to go deeper into the person of Jesus Christ. So what John did, he left off some of the most important accounts, but he added new elements that the other gospel writers skipped. For example, he's the only one who talked about the wedding at Cana. Okay. The conversation with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Okay. These were windows into who Christ was. Raising Lazarus from the dead. And his private conversations with the disciples. Now, let me test another illustration. I don't know if you do it here in Malaysia, but in the Philippines, we put salt on pineapple. Do you do that here? Oh, yeah, there you go. Okay, perfect. So John is not the pineapple. He's the salt on the pineapple to bring out the sweetness, right? Yeah. So that's what he was doing. He skipped. They already made the pineapple. Well, let me add salt so we can further understand who Christ was. If you compare it to the nightly evening news, Matthew is your Jewish news anchor. Okay. So Matthew wrote his gospel for a Jewish audience, and so he highlighted Jewish news features. Okay, Luke was your Gentile news anchor, so he kind of shed light on more Gentile interests. Mark is your war correspondent. He's on the ground. He's live broadcasting in Gaza Strip. This is what's happening. It's action-packed. It's live, you know. John is not the nightly news. He's your news documentary show. So he doesn't explain everything that's happening. He'll pick two or three, but go in depth. Behind the scenes, go deeper into the character kind of thing. So that's what John does for all of us. Now, again, those five verses that we just read in the beginning, again, the first five verses of this gospel are some of the weightiest words in all of Scripture and in all of church history. And if you expand that to verse 18, including what Pastor Jonathan just read to us during communion, John 1, verse 1 to 18, I believe that is John's main thesis for his entire book, which he then expounds on for the rest of the book. Think about this. In those 18 verses, John covered the divinity of Christ, Christ as Logos, Christ as Creator, Christ as light of the world, the incarnation, and eternal life through Christ. If you're a student and your first 18 sentences is as packed as John, you'll get an A+ for sure, okay, in school. I mean, each one of those truths are a book in and of themselves, right? Now, there's no way we can discuss all of that this morning. So I'm going to focus on one truth. In all of those, allow me to focus on one truth. And to do that, let me jump to verse 14. And I'll read from verses 14 to 18. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And listen to this. We have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known. And so, as overwhelming as everything we have been discussing is so far, I mean, Logos, Creator, eternal life, remember this, all of those became flesh and dwelt among us. He became one of us. In fact, it's the incarnation that sets Christ apart from all other gods. Listen, no other religion even begins to claim that the God that they worship became human. And so the truest meaning of Christmas is that God has come into our world in the person of Jesus Christ. That is the most important truth any of us can ever absorb and understand. Jesus was the perfect and full revelation of God. He was the final, the absolute, the clearest, the ultimate revelation of God. And that is why the author of Hebrews said in Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, he said, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. And so in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, God spoke to His people, Israel, through prophets. But to us today, under the New Covenant, He speaks to us through Jesus Christ, through the entirety of the life of Christ, His life, His words, His teachings, His mission, His service, His miracles. Through every moment in the life of Christ, God speaks to us. And so Jesus, remember this, is God's word to the world. Jesus is God's logos to the world. That's why when Judaizers in the book of Acts criticized the early church for not knowing the scriptures, John's response was, no, we know Him. We have been with Him. In 1 John 4:14, John said, we have seen Him and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. The Logos, again, made flesh, Jesus Christ. This was the miracle of the incarnation. Now let's get practical, okay? That's a bit heady, very theological, can be very overwhelming. Because again, like I said, John packed so much, it's so rich, just the first chapter, that sometimes, it can be confusing and overwhelming. Just like some doctors, I hope there's no doctor in the room this morning, you know? Doctors can be very confusing, but there's a way to understand what's being said. For example, let me show you an example of these medical terms, okay? So if you ever, I was telling Pastor Jonathan, I've been seeing this traditional Chinese doctor in Manila. But let's say, if you ever see a traditional Western doctor and you leave his office, he said, listen, you have abdormition. Okay. Oh my gosh, that's so shocking, right? But don't worry, okay? Abdormition means, you know how your arm falls asleep when you lie on it at night? You know what I'm talking about? That's all it is, okay? So don't worry, okay? Now if he says, you have abdormition, plus paresthesia. Should you now worry? No, don't worry. Okay. Paresthesia simply means, again, your arm fell asleep. You know how when you move it, there's that electric tingling that happens? Yeah. So don't worry. Perfectly normal. Perfectly normal. Now, this is scary. Now, if he says you have sphenopalatine ganglioneuralgia, is that when you run to the ER? No, 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 no. All that means is, you know how when you eat ice cream and your brain freezes, kind of? Yeah. Yeah. That's all it is. So just stay calm. Don't worry. Yeah. Now, if he says you have, I don't even know how to pronounce, hiloma mole, okay? Now, should you start praying now if that's your diagnosis? Don't worry. All that means is the callus on your feet is soft. You know what the callus is? Yeah. You know when you keep using your skin, yeah. But it's soft. Don't worry. Yeah. Now, this one, Pastor Jonathan has this for sure. Hiloma durum. Okay? When the callus on your feet has hardened. Okay? Yeah, he's a runner, so like me. So we have a lot of these. Okay, hiloma durum. Okay. How about if you have onychocryptosis? Okay? That means, you might be a little bit, you should be just a little bit worried. It means you have ingrown nail in your feet. In Greek. Okay? But if he says, no, what you have is unguis incarnatus, it's the same thing. You have ingrown nail in your feet in Latin. All right. There you go. So, yeah. So, again, there are ways to understand complicated things. It's the same thing with the incarnation. What really does the incarnation mean? What's the simple truth? Well, what it means is the infinite became finite. The eternal entered the temporal. The sovereign became our servant. The holy lived among the fallen. The invisible was made visible. The supernatural found among the natural. The incomprehensible made flesh so that we can understand and know him. How? Verse 14 said, again, we have seen the glory of God through Christ, manifested in the fullness of Christ's grace and truth. Now, let me backtrack a bit. In Exodus 33, Moses asked God, "Can show me your glory?" Okay, Moses said. And God the Father told Moses, it put God in a bit of a dilemma. Listen, no man can see my glory and live. And God kind of made a deal with Moses. Okay, this is what we'll do. You go up Mount Sinai, and then he put Moses in a cleft, like kind of between rocks, covered Moses with his hands, and allowed his goodness to pass before Moses. And in Exodus 34, verses 6 to 7, it says, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" Moses was not allowed to see the glory of the Lord. Again, no man can survive the presence of God's glory. And yet, John says, and we read it, that we have seen the glory of God. How? Through Christ. By knowing grace and truth through the life and death of Jesus Christ. There is no greater demonstration of truth than the life of Christ. And there is no greater demonstration of grace than the death of Jesus Christ. And so here's my simple point for all of you this morning. We understand truth by the obedience of Christ, and we understand grace by the death of Christ. We're able to grasp eternal truths, all of the stuff we just mentioned earlier, we're able to grasp those by seeing how Jesus lived in grace and truth. See, God first revealed Himself to Israel through the law, the Ten Commandments. And for the first time, Israel understood who God was, His nature as reflected through the law, that He is a holy and righteous God. And as they lived according to the law, you know, they were set apart from all other nations through the morality, their civil laws, the social regulations, ceremonies, and traditions. They were immediately set apart from all other nations. They were so unique in that way. And so the law was truth. And while Israel understood who God was through the law, they also understood there was no way they could live up to the law. And so it pointed to their need for a Messiah. And so when the Messiah in Christ finally came, He fulfilled the law that Israel could not by living a sinless life. Now we, like Israel, cannot live up to the truth or the law in and of ourselves. But through Christ's death and resurrection, He made it possible for us to fulfill the law through the Holy Spirit. And so if the law was truth, the cross was grace. The law and the cross, truth and grace, the life of Christ and the death of Christ. And thus God, who cannot be seen, has been revealed and made known by Jesus to all of us through grace and truth. And as we read His word, Logos, Christ, Word made flesh, and understand in His life what truth and grace means, we begin to know God more and more every day. Now, just as I begin to land this, two quick gifts to unpack for us. Now, two Christmases ago, do you have Shopee in Malaysia? Yes. Okay, yeah. So I was on Shopee. Early December, must have been around this time, I saw what I wanted. And so I told my wife, okay, this is your Christmas gift for me this Christmas. And I paid for it, I did it, but okay, I chose my gift because I knew what I wanted. It was a ukulele, a small ukulele, okay? And so John shows us, at the very least, two gifts that God chose for us through Christ, okay? Not that we wanted it, but He knows that we need it. Okay, number one, first gift is this: the full revelation of God in Christ. Again, because God speaks through the life of Christ. When you read and pray through the Bible, God reveals Himself to you at that very moment. No matter how sleepy you are, no matter how bored you are, no matter how, your mind is floating, else it doesn't matter. If you're reading the Word and you're in prayer, God speaks and reveals Himself to you at that very moment. Again, Jesus is the clearest, the most complete, and the fullest revelation of God. We grow in our knowledge of Him as we grow deeper in the Word. Okay? Second gift is the Zoe life of God. We read earlier in verse 4 that it said, Jesus is the life, and that life is the light of men. The life is the light. Now, John wasn't speaking of bios, which means biological life. He used the word Zoe, which means spiritual life or eternal life. It's the life that we receive when we are, according to Jesus, born again in the Spirit. And this Zoe life, Jesus manifested as grace and truth. And in becoming human, He demonstrated to us how to live this Zoe life. In our world, not in heaven, where there is no sin, but in our broken and fallen, sinful world. This is what it means to exhibit grace and truth. Growing up in humble circumstances as a son of a carpenter. I don't know what circumstances you were born into or maybe are in right now, how difficult or disadvantaged or challenged. Well, Jesus demonstrated to us how to live a life of grace and truth in those circumstances. When Jesus honored His parents, I don't know what kind of relationship you have with your parents, with in your own immediate family, towards your children, your siblings. Well, Jesus' own siblings disbelieved him. Well, Jesus demonstrated how it is to live in grace and truth in our families. How he poured his life into a group of men and women who became his disciples, including one guy who actually betrayed him. So I don't know, are you pouring your life into other people? Are you exhibiting the grace and truth of Christ in those people? When Jesus ministered to the poor, the sick, the needy, the alien, are we transferring or passing on the grace and truth of Christ to those who are disadvantaged around us? How Jesus responded to his persecutors when they mocked him, when they beat him, when they killed him, it was grace and truth that came out. When we face opposition, when there are people who persecute us, when we have enemies in our own workplaces, how do we exhibit grace and truth? And so question, does the truth of God's word and the grace made available to us through the cross manifest itself in how we view our lives and how we relate with others? In closing, let me just repeat that statement. We understand truth through the obedience of Christ, and we understand grace through the sacrifice of Christ. Christ revealed God to us through grace and truth. May we reveal Christ to others and the glory of God through grace and truth in our lives. Can you all just bow our heads and close our eyes? I'll just pray for you, and then I'll turn it back over to Pastor Jonathan. Lord Jesus, we thank you, first of all, for coming into our world to become one of us, the infinite, the eternal, the sovereign, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, that you would so humble yourself to be among us. And we thank you for the revelation of who you are, and who God is, and more importantly, the kind of God that you are. And our simple prayer is this, Lord, that in as much and maybe in the little bit that we can grasp or understand you, may we reflect you. May we reflect your grace and truth. That those who encounter us would somehow, some way experience a measure, even a small measure, of that supernatural grace, of that eternal truth, so that we may reveal you to others and the glory of God through our lives. We give you all the glory.